I can speak for myself when I say that road trips are not always enjoyable. I'm gonna raise my hand, and because there's a lot of things that I don't necessarily like about road trips, even though I am a road trip enthusiast, and whenever possible, I am signing up for them. With that being said, discomfort is actually one of the main reasons that discourages people from taking road trips. So today we are going to be focusing on how to make them more enjoyable, comfortable, and ensuring that you have a wonderful time from start to finish.
Bags packed,
mirrors adjusted,
GPS set,
we're
road trip ready. I'm Chris.
And I'm Danielle. We're two road trip enthusiasts collectively clocking in hundreds of miles
or kilometers
a year exploring the U.S. and Canada.
Now, if you love discovering new destinations
and hidden gems,
the best kept secrets locals cherish, and ways to make your road trips more enjoyable
and affordable,
you're in the right place.
Time to shift into drive and get you
road trip ready.
I'm not surprised by what you're saying. So, I mean, you're right. Right. And in the beginning I was like that. So the thing is that whenever I'd be in Europe, for example, Gordy and I would rent a car, and then I'd have no problem driving wherever. We'd go explore. We'd rent the car for like, you know, a week, and we'd drive down here and go down here and do day trips and all that kind of stuff. And it was awesome. And then, you know, when the pandemic happened, I mean, curse that. I'm sorry I brought that up. But when the pandemic happened, then, you know, we're forced to travel locally. And then I had to take my own vehicle, right? And I was like, okay, well, that's not a big deal. I'll just continue road tripping like I did before, right? But then I was like, suddenly, for some reason, I just didn't like road trips anymore. And I was like, why is that? And then it wasn't until I did a press trip and I used a rental car. And I was like, that's why. Because once I was in the rental car and I had all the modern technology and all the modern things and all the plugging in, like my seat could warm up, my handlebars could warm up, like the seat could be all comfortable, you know, all those kind of things. Because when you rent a car, they usually have the most modern car, right? So now, you know, when I'm road tripping, I'm taking my Jeep Wrangler. And we already talked about this in previous episodes, how terrible it is on gas. But it's also ridiculously uncomfortable. So the minute that I'm in that car, the Jeep, for any more than like an hour, I'm already like, okay, I need to get out. I need to stretch. My back is hurting. You know what I mean? And there's no technology, no nothing. I got my phone attached to the little heating grate thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not relaxing. So that's when I realized that that's the reason why that I didn't like doing road trips, you know, in my own backyard. Now, don't get me wrong. As you guys already know, I love my Jeep. We talked about me driving over your lawn and all that kind of stuff in the last episode. I love my Jeep, but it's not the best for road trips. So that's something we got to think about. Now, I know that we are trying to do things on a budget, of course. That's in your wheelhouse, Danielle. But, and so I'm not telling everybody to go out and buy a brand new car, right? But I'm just thinking, like, you know, you might want to consider, if you're in the market for looking for a new car, to start thinking about a car that's not only comfortable, but it's good on gas. Or maybe even just think about renting a car. I mean, save wear and tear in your own car and just have like a more modern car. And that was the first step, actually, is just finding a car that's comfortable and a car that's good on gas. Really, the heating works, the air conditioning works, the navigation works, the music works, the stereo works. Like, you know, all those things, they matter. So I think, you know, once I figured that piece out, then I realized the reason why I wasn't enjoying road trips in my own backyard. So that's to, you know, to answer your question, essentially, I started from the same place. So, I mean, that's all I can really say about that.
My first tip is look into accessories for your vehicle, whether it's for your camera mount or your phone mount, whether it's like additional cup holders, whether it's like seat covers. Like, there's a lot of accessories that we can actually take advantage of to make our road trips more enjoyable when it comes to the technicalities piece. I'm still literally on my, I need to get that USB-C because, or USC, because it's it's inconvenient, right? And like, I've been in cars where my phone is not connecting to the Apple, you know, the Apple CarPlay. You're distracted as you're driving. So there's like these little things that like make a big difference to make your trip more enjoyable.
Yeah, you can just get an adapter, by the way, just put in that.
You know, it's on my list. It's on my ever-growing Amazon cart, my list. So another thing I want to talk about is we've mentioned this a little bit in episode number 2, I believe, but which is all about like advantages and disadvantages, I believe. Like, I think that starting small is really important. Whether you are, you know, traveling with your baby or you haven't done many road trips before, start with something that is doable, whether it's a day trip or a few hours away, so that you can get comfortable and it becomes more familiar to you versus doing this huge like jaunt. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. And it's funny though, because if you listen to episode 4, which was about traveling with pets, and episode 5, which was about traveling with kids, both Britt and Kevin, who may or may not know each other, I think that they do. But anyways, they both mention starting small, whether it's with your dogs or whether it's with your children. Start small little road trips. Don't like start your first road trip like 15 hours somewhere and your dog or your kids have never been in the car before, right? So the same thing goes for yourself. Like, just start small and just start to see like, What are your limitations? Like, how much are you willing to take before you need to get out and start stretching your legs? So definitely like 1 to 2 hours, I think, is a great place to start. So, you know, coincidentally on Road Trip Ontario, during the pandemic, as we talked about, I think in the very first episode, actually, you know, we started with day trips because that's all we were able to really do at that time because of the pandemic. So, I mean, we started with destinations that were like 90 minutes away, an hour away, things like that. And that's reasonable. You know, maybe you need to make one stop somewhere and then that's it. Or you just go directly there. Like, you have that option because an hour and a half is nothing really, right? So I think that's a great way to start. Just start with small little road trips that are day trips, essentially. I think that's a good, great place to start.
Another thing that's important to highlight is the importance of being well rested too. That I cannot say that loud enough and scream it loud enough from the rooftops, because it does make a big difference in your ability to be attentive, to stay alert, and to combat whatever comes your way when you're on the road. So I really, really try my best to get a good night's sleep. So sleep at a early, you know, earlier than I usually sleep. And when possible, I also try to get a head start on my day. So I try to leave early. And because I have a little guy, I try to leave even earlier so that when he's waking up, which is typically like around 8:30, we are already halfway to our destination or almost there. So you will find me like 5 a.m. wake up on the road at 5 a.m. That's probably me, because we just want to make sure we're capitalizing on every little bit of sleep for this little guy here.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I actually like that one because I try to do the same. I mean, me and my nephew over there, we are both the same kind of people that wake up around 8 o'clock. I do try to wake up earlier. Sometimes I'll wake up at 7, but when I know that I need to go somewhere, then I try to wake up early, take a shower, have coffee, do those kind of things. Just so, you know, you're in the mood and you're good to go. And leaving early is huge because you can cover more of your destination that way. And I think that that is a good way to do it, definitely. For sure.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think it's just helpful. And again, especially when you're traveling with other people, how can we make this like just more enjoyable? And it's something that we will both enjoy and love. What other things have you used on your side, Chris, that just makes things a little bit just icing on the cake?
Yeah. So just be prepared. And I can speak on this personally, because I live in Toronto. So if you remember episode 2, we're probably going to keep referring to episode 2 because it's about advantages and disadvantages. So for disadvantages, coming from Toronto, we deal with traffic all the time. And as I said before, if you put everything together, it takes an hour to get from Toronto to Toronto. So it takes an hour just to get out of the city. And if you add that to the fact that I drive a Jeep that's ridiculously uncomfortable, by the time I just get out of the city, I already want to get out of the car and start walking around. So you have to understand that just because the GPS says that you're going to be there at this certain time, for the most part, it's actually can be pretty accurate because, you know, if you think about it, Apple Maps, for example, is using the data from everyone that has an iPhone. And majority of the people in the world, like it or don't like it, has an iPhone. So it's pretty accurate in terms of knowing where the traffic is and knowing where things are. But still, things can randomly happen. And so when you think that you're going to be at a destination for two, I highly doubt that you'll be at the destination at two. Like you'll most likely be at the destination 2:30, 3 o'clock. You know, if you're crossing a border, then that's just an extra amount of time there. Like, you know, and you got to factor in if you're going to get out of the car or not and those kind of pieces. But yeah, I mean, just it ties perfectly into what you were saying about leaving early. But yeah, just be prepared to not arrive at your designated time of arrival. I think,
you know, I think that's the thing that trips me up a lot is that I am the type of person that I look at the GPS. I'm like, this is the time I'm going to arrive. And I don't mentally take into account all of the pit stops, the brakes, all the little bitty things that happen. And I'm thrown off. Right. And then what I also think that stresses me out is that I also typically set a meeting, right? Like, or have like definitive plans to be somewhere like very shortly after I'm set to arrive. So maybe the first day, like, especially if you're having a multi-day road trip or you're going to be at the destination for multiple days, like maybe not have anything set for a couple of hours so that maybe you're just having a dinner reservation or you're doing something very light, but nothing crazy, like no meetings with like stakeholders or like anything like crazy. Cause like, I think that's just stress because now I'm on the road stressed. I am like really trying to push it. I'm looking at every single second and that actually deters me from taking those breaks and slowing down and actually enjoying it. So I think that's something that I can definitely work on for sure.
Right. I think I wanted to add something going back to the previous point about leaving early. I think the time of day also matters when you're road tripping as well. So that's why I just wanted to add on to that point because you mentioned about leaving early and there's a reason for that. Obviously, leaving early means you technically should arrive at your destination earlier, but you're also driving when it's daylight outside. And there's nothing worse than driving when it's dark outside. So, I mean, not only starts to get, you know, sketchy in terms of being able to see and all those other pieces. You know, honestly, I've been down some dirt roads and, you know, there's no lights at all on some roads. So you just, you know, trying to avoid driving at night, I think is huge. So I just wanted to just put that in there as well in terms of the time of day that you're driving. So essentially, to your point, leave early. Don't leave, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you need 6 hours to get there because you're going to be arriving there at like 9 o'clock when it's night, right? So just little things like that, like just thinking about those little things. The key here is to be prepared and prepare yourself and to plan it. We'll get into that a little bit more, but planning it is so important to making your road trip more enjoyable. So I just wanted to just add that onto what you originally said.
And you know, sometimes you don't have control over that time of day aspect because there's been times where I am flying to the destination and then I rent a car and start my road trip. So, and a great example is I flew from home to New Orleans, Louisiana. And from New Orleans, I drove to the North Shore of Louisiana, which is about like a 75 to 90 minute drive. And that was, I started my road trip like around 6 p.m. It was already getting like dark and all the things that happened, like the CarPlay wasn't connecting. I was like, you know, going back and forth with my phone, trying to GPS. I got rerouted like 20 times. By the time I actually got to my hotel, it was 9:30. Something that was supposed to take me very little time it just took me so, and I actually missed my appointment. Like I had a dinner appointment with some friends and I had to just, no, it just didn't happen. So I think when we can control time of day, of course, like try to opt for what you feel like will be best for you. But sometimes you can't control it. And like I said, try not to have anything booked that first day if possible, so you don't have that pressure. I'm always pressured. I'm like, stop scheduling stuff for, you know, stop. Just stop it. I don't know.
It's tricky. It's tricky because when you get to a destination, and I'm guilty of this myself, is that I want to try to pack in as much things as I can while I'm there. So I tend to overdo it with how much things I want to see. So I think, again, with the planning is just maybe to try to prioritize the things that you absolutely have to see and then things that you are kind of okay if you miss. So maybe put those on the outsides of everything and keep the core things that you want to see in the middle. So stuff like that. But in a situation like what you're describing, I mean, if the flight's going to cancel and all that, I mean, that's well beyond your control. So, I mean, that the best thing you could do at that time is just have an extra drink at the bar and just kind of chill, because what else can you do? Exactly. Okay. So the next tip that I have is taking turns. So this for me is very important because I can't do that. Gordana, if you're listening, you need to get your driver's license so that way I am not the only person driving all the time. Just putting that out there. But yes, I remember when we had a conference, it was IMM in New York City, and you know, our flights, it was like really foggy that day, and our flights all got canceled, and we're supposed to fly in from Toronto to Newark in New Jersey, and usually that flight's about an hour and a half, but the flight got canceled because of the fog. So a friend of mine, Kat, yes, the one that we mentioned in the last episode that drives a Jeep, her flight was just before mine. And she said, hey, look, we're all going in her Jeep. Do you want to come? And I was like, you know what? Sure. Let's just do it because I need to get to that conference. It's just, so it's now it turned into a 9-hour drive in order to get there. But the entire time I was just sitting in the back chilling, right? And Kat and her boyfriend were taking turns driving. And honestly, I was like, oh, I can dig this, like not having to drive. So that is a big deal. Like just having someone else take over for a little bit is a big deal. Obviously, if you're traveling solo, it's not possible. You're probably going to have to do a lot more breaks in between, but definitely taking turns with somebody helps. So sometimes if you're planning a road trip, maybe ask your friend to come, your mom, your dad, or, you know, your significant other, or just, you know, just ask someone else to come with you just so you have the ability to take turns while you're driving. Yeah, I think that's a big deal. I'm splitting up the responsibility. So maybe, you know, you keep an eye on the street signs, and instead of just sleeping, I mean, if you need to sleep, then sleep, but keep an eye on the street signs. So, you know, we're not missing exits and things like that, and making U-turns in the middle of the highway to get back on the exit that you missed, like stuff like that. So just everyone just take turns, and, you know.
I will also just encourage those who primarily are the ones who feel comfortable with driving, if someone offers to take the responsibility to help and take turns, don't be like such a stickler too, right? Because like I think sometimes solo drivers, they push themselves beyond the limit of comfort and even safety sometimes because they want to have control over the driving experience. So that's something that I always offer to my husband and like, hey babe, I'm happy to drive. He's always like, no. I'm like, but you've been driving for 7 hours. I think you need a break, you know? So you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he was on the podcast, he would have his reasons as to why he does not want me driving. So we'll keep it at that.
Geez. Maybe we need to bring him on as a guest. But you know what? You actually brought up a very good point there. Because Gordana does the same thing. So she'll be like, okay, you know what? Like, it's okay. I know that you need to drive. So I'm going to keep you company and talk to you. So that way I make sure that you're alert and all that. And then as soon as, you know, an hour in, she's like, right? And I'm sitting there driving by myself, right? So then all of a sudden she'll just wake up and it's like, Are we almost there? What's happening? Like, you know what I mean? So I agree with you. Like if you're taking turns, and yes, that is an opportunity for the other person to take a little nap, you know, because you, when you're constantly awake like that, because you're constantly being aware of everything, like you're constantly checking your mirrors, you're constantly looking, you're constantly seeing how far you are from the car in front of you and who's around you, who's behind you. Like you're constantly looking, like you're extra alert, right? And that makes you extra exhausted, right? So that's why as soon as I get to the hotel, I immediately crash, because you spent so much time being focused, right? So yes, it is a good time if you're taking turns to take a little nap so you could kind of relax. But still, you've got to be considerate about the other person who's driving. You know, you got to kind of like talk to them a little bit, like help the time pass by, right? So you brought up a good point there.
Yes, right? Yes, I totally agree. Let's talk a little bit more about the planning process. Something that, okay, Chris, you had jotted down for us is the weather aspect, something that I never really think about. So talk us through that.
Well, hey, look, I live in Canada, but I mean, enough said. Okay, next question. No, I'm just joking. You know what? In all honesty, I say that in jest, because I mean, honestly, like you have snow as well. So it's not like we don't have snow. People think that because you're in the States that you don't have snow, and you guys have snow as well. So, but yes, the weather is a big deal. And I mean, I would try to avoid traveling on days where you know you're going to have inclement weather. If you know you're going to have a snowstorm, if you know that, I mean, it really looks like it's heading in that direction, then I would even go so far as to see if it's possible to maybe delay it a little bit or postpone it, maybe wait an hour, see if it passes. You know, you definitely don't want to be driving when it's a torrential downpour, or if it's hail, or if it's like a snow blizzard, or even if it's really windy. I mean, my Jeep is top heavy, and when it's windy, like it goes like this, like it shakes. So just little things like that. Like, obviously you can't avoid everything, but just going back to your original point about not powering through things, like, you know what, if you get caught in a torrential downpour, don't be afraid to pull off on at the next exit, or pull off. Don't pull off on the side of the highway, but just pull off like at the next exit, get off, pop into a gas station or something, or a coffee shop, and just wait it out. You know what I mean? Like, it's better to be late at your destination than drive in a situation where you could potentially get into an accident. And 9 times out of 10, if the weather is really terrible anyways, there's most likely going to be traffic on the highway anyways. So, or maybe other accidents that happen. So, you know, if you get caught in it, try your best to kind of wait for it to pass. If it's not going to pass, then you know what? Drive for the conditions. That's what I always say. Just because the highway says that you can go 100 doesn't mean that you need to go 100 when there's like a torrential downpour. So drive to the conditions, drive slower if you need to. You could go into I think it's the same for the States. I think if you go into the right lane, then you can go a lot slower. So don't stay in the left lane, which is the passing lane. If you're not feeling comfortable with this weather, then go into a slower lane and just take your time. Don't go 20 kilometers an hour, but like just go slower and take your time. If you get caught in the weather, you can't get out. So those are just some tips in terms of the weather. But yes, you can look at the weather forecast to know what's going on ahead of time. But let's be honest, every time I look at the Apple forecast thing, it's like wrong. So, you know, it's off by degrees. It says it's raining when it's not raining. So, I mean, you know, you can use it as kind of like a reference, but, you know.
Exactly. So I heard a couple things. I heard safety first, right? So drive for the weather conditions, take your time, and just get there safely. Like, that is very, very important, and just a good reminder for us all. So I think also when it comes to the planning process, if you have any medications, your vitamins, these are things like, make sure that's in your backpack or whatever you're using, which I feel like we should have a whole episode about, like packing for road trips, because that could be expensive. But definitely packing your medications and pain relief too. So whether you choose like ibuprofen or Tylenol or Aleve or whatever, like some of these things, sometimes like when you're traveling, you just kind of need a little bit of like relief. So just kind of pack those. Something that I do that's very helpful is I have these things already in my bag at all times. So I don't have to put it in my, like take it out of my closet to pack it. This is a bag that lives in my suitcase, in my road trip backpacks. And all I have to do is just look inside of it and just replenish the items. So that's one of those hacks that I felt like just kind of keeps it consistent. So I don't have to remember, like, I don't have to remember about toothbrushes and stuff because it's always in there all the time.
It's funny. You know, I think that's because we're actually travel writers and travelers. So I think that's just part of the game, because I had the exact same thing. So it's I think it's like a toiletry bag, I guess is the word. And I just have it. And in there, I have like, you know, a separate toothbrush. I have deodorants in there. I have headache medication. You know, just all this stuff is already there. And then I have one that's in the bathroom that I use regularly, but that's a separate bag. So all I need to do is just grab that bag and just throw it into whatever I'm going, whether it's a road trip or by plane or whatever. So very good tip. What I will say, and I don't know, this may affect some people, it may not affect other people, but I think this episode is going to be about our significant others. But Gordana gets migraines easily. So she always has to make sure that she has, medication. But she discovered that sometimes when she's looking at her phone for long periods of time while she's in the car, that actually helps. It actually creates nausea for her. So sometimes if you might be getting nausea, maybe it's because you're looking at your phone too much. So just putting it out there. I don't know if that will affect everybody else, but I'm pretty sure to someone else that has the same issue. So she can't really look at phones for too long. So something to think about. So that's why like GPS is really important and all those other pieces. But I even having a physical map. But yeah, she can't really look at her phone for too long. It adds to her nausea when she's in the car. So I just thought that was interesting.
And, you know, that actually brings us to entertainment, because a lot of us are relying on our phones for entertainment. But one of the things that's definitely an advantage to road trips is the bonding time, right? And Kevin from episode 5 really talked about that, like talked about the importance of that bonding time that you have with your family and how road trips can foster that. And this means making a decision. Are you going to use the time to talk? Are you going to use that time to listen to an audiobook or a podcast or like music, right? So these are things that you can maybe the night before or as you're preparing, you could set your playlist. Like, hey, I know we're going to want to listen to Bob Marley, so I'm going to have my Bob Marley playlist going, right? Because when you set your playlist, you don't have to look at your phone again, because it's all going to just kind of sync and do its thing. So just again, the pre-work that goes into thinking about enjoyment and comfortability is so important. I, for one, am a podcast person. So typically on long road trips, we just pop in that Joe Rogan 3-hour podcast and we're like, we're entertained for the entire trip. Sometimes like the podcast is so long, we're on our way back, we're still listening to the podcast. I'm like, gosh.
Or you could just listen to the Road Trip Ready podcast.
I mean, we have many, many episodes, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's a good point. And I think, I mean, the most noted thing about podcasting is clearly music. So, I mean, there's road trip playlists, like so many of them that I could think of a million songs that might also be another good episode. But yeah, like, you know, obviously having a great playlist of music is huge. It's the way that you could sing along in the car and everybody could have fun. So you could talk, you could listen to music, you could listen to a podcast, you could listen to an audio book even. Those are all great things that will definitely help the time pass, or just even listen to the radio. It's interesting that when you're traveling around, the radio station actually changes. So it's actually interesting to listen, like, what's going on in this cities and their information on their radio, right? Now, like, what's their news like? So it's just great, great ways to get entertained. And obviously in the car, if you're traveling with kids, then of course, you know, you can bring out your iPads and those other pieces as well. So that way the kids are entertained, or even do, like games like I Spy or, you know, just have fun with the kids. You know, just plenty of things that you can do, games and stuff like that. Trivia stuff, tons of stuff that you can do for entertainment. And all those are absolutely amazing ways to have the time pass by.
I love that. I think that really thinking about how can we use this time to get closer before we go off and explore, I think is a great way to use our planning. Because I think a lot of times when we think of travel planning or road trip planning, we're thinking about gas and we're thinking about weather and we're thinking about tire pressure and we're thinking about la la la, you know? And
we should think about those things.
I mean, of course. I mean, yes, I'm not discrediting that. But I also think like thinking about entertainment, thinking about how you're going to use that time together can be really fun. Something that my husband and I, we've done, so we're really big Drake fans. Like, we love Drake. And Drake has an extensive...
Where's Drake from?
Toronto. Okay. Yes.
Just wanted to point that out. All right, sorry, carry on.
So we're big, big Drake fans. And because Drake has a very large catalog, Drake is really known for his intros. So the first song in each album is usually like fire, which sets the pace for what the whole album is going to be. So what my husband and I do, we do games where it's like we listen to every album's intro, and that literally, and we like talk about it. We're like, did you like that? Or did you like that? Or, you know, another example is like, you know how there's some artist who is like, do you like old Kanye or new Kanye? So then we kind of like go back and forth and like just find like little cool little games and like just little debates that, well, it's super simple, but typically these conversations are probably not what we would be having at home, honestly. Like, we're actually talking about things that kind of are outside of our day-to-day life that is just fun banter. So that's something that I've noticed.
I love that stuff. Absolutely. And we do that a lot as well. We don't, Gordy actually surprisingly likes Drake as well. So, maybe we'll try that next time. But yeah, that's definitely, I love stuff like that. Like just, yeah, little stupid stuff. Like I love it. Like you think about I Spy and those like types of games, like, or even trivia games, like just stuff like that. Like it's just fun. Just fun stuff. And it's a great way to pass the time. Absolutely.
Something I struggle with, again, because I'm rushing typically and I'm trying to get to my appointment, which I'm going to start not to do in 2024 and beyond, okay? Something that I want to improve is actually taking stops and building that time into my road trip, right? And that's the whole goal of why we even started this podcast is like, there's so many hidden gems along the way that we are missing out on when you are rushing and you are stressed about getting to your destination versus really, like, it's cliche, but enjoying the journey is important. It's super important. And I think it definitely helps you have positive vibes when you think about road trips.
Absolutely. Definitely. So, I mean, we'll probably at some point do a whole video about this, but usually I'll sit down with Google and I will look at the route that we're going to take, and I will start to see like what's along that route in terms of parks or, you know, little interesting museums or just little small things, right? I'll read lots of blogs, and we'll talk about this in the next episode specifically, but I do the research and just kind of figure out like what's along the way, like what would be an excuse for me to get out of the car and do something aside from putting in gas. Now, I'll tie gas in for a second. So there's an app that I use all the time called Gas Buddy. And it's available both in Canada and the US. And basically, with Gas Buddy, you enter where your starting point and you enter your final destination. And then it will tell you what the current gas prices at all the gas stations are along that route. And it will suggest where you need to fill up or where you need to get gas because it'll be cheaper. And sometimes when you do that, you can end up saving like 25-50 bucks even, because you're not just filling up when you need to get gas, because technically you shouldn't really let your car go below half tank anyways. So by using the Gas Buddy app, it'll allow you to stop at specific strategic places where the app knows that the gas is cheap in that particular spot right now. So you can go get it. And then you could plan out your entire trip there and your trip back based on where you need to stop off to get gas. So if you tie that into what's around that area already, maybe you're 10 minutes away from a nice hiking trail or 20 minutes away from a waterfalls, or a little town where you could pop in and grab lunch or brunch or something like that. So you could tie these things together in order to figure out where you give yourself an excuse to get out of the car and stretch and go for a little 5 minute or 10 minute hike even, just to stretch your legs. And that really helps in terms of, getting yourself ready to jump back in the car and drive again. For sure.
I love breaking up the trip. I love that idea of like, okay, we have two segments or, we're going to have a little break here. We're going to do this. Like, that to me is where I can definitely improve. I feel like this is therapy for me because I have areas of that definitely. But I love this conversation, to be honest, because it's like sometimes you get so stuck in your ways and then you're kind of like disgruntled and you're just like, I don't like this anymore. And it could be a very simple fix, like just plan it out a little better, like look at your route and take a break. it could be that simple.
Absolutely. Let me get my notepad out for you so I can make notes. I'll be Dr. Rutter.
Yes. I like that ring. That sounds, they're very professional.
It sounds good. But definitely building in those stops for sure. It's very important. Small hikes, waterfalls, lunch in a small town. I know that New York, as well as Toronto. I'm not sure what your roadside stops are called in New York State, for example, but in Ontario, we have en route, right? So on as in O-N for Ontario and then route. Get it? Okay. So en route are little stops where you can definitely go in and it's an excuse again to either get gas, get a sandwich, get a coffee, whatever you need, because obviously you need to fuel yourself in addition to your car. So one thing that I always have is I always have like my big bottle of water and, having snacks, healthy snacks, as Kevin actually talked about that in the previous episode, episode 5, about having snacks, like healthy snacks, apples, those kinds of things, but also like chocolate and those kind of things as well, having plenty of water. So essentially just having a cooler. So you need to fuel yourself in addition to fueling the car. But that aside, like, those en route stops are places where you can get a bite to eat, grab lunch, or as I said before, pull into a small town, get some food, visit a little restaurant that you've never visited, or roadside statues. Like, I love stuff like that. Like when I drove from Thunder Bay to Winnipeg, like we stopped off at these little spots, like Max the Moose. Like it was like this big, huge moose that was like, so we just stopped by there, took a picture. On other occasions, maybe you're passing by a farm. So it's a good chance to grab, to do some picking of fruit because, nothing is better than like fresh blueberries or strawberries. And of course you could snack on those while you're in the car. Historic landmarks. And as I mentioned off the top, waterfalls, those kind of things. So any kind of excuse to get out of the car. Now it will extend your trip more, obviously. So something to think about for sure. Just getting out the car and just, enjoying it a little bit. And when you break it up like that, it really doesn't seem that bad anymore. Because if you've been driving for an hour and a half and then you got out and hiked for 20 minutes and now all of a sudden, all I have to do is drive for another hour and a half. Okay, that's not too bad, right? So it's a really great way to break it up.
We have come to the end of today's episode and we're going to share with you one final thing. One tip, it's actually a service. And I'm going to give you an example of how it could have came really in handy for me. Actually, my husband. Like you said, this is an episode about our significant others. Okay. So last Wednesday, actually, I was home. I was working. I usually work on Wednesday evenings. And my husband calls me at like 7 p.m. after his work. And I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, not to like, you know, make you concerned or anything, but like, I just like fell into a pothole and both of my tires are flat. So, so yeah. So he literally like, and it was like torrential downpour like that day. So for some reason, he must have not seen the potholes and he like doom. And both of like the whole entire side of his vehicle, those tires were out. And, you know, luckily I was nearby and I was like, sure, I'll stop what I'm doing. I'll go and pick you up. But we had to get a tow truck and that costs, you know, X number of dollars. Luckily, we have an emergency fund. So it didn't necessarily like we didn't feel the pinch. But I think this is where you have like AAA in the US and CAA in Canada that can really be a service that gives you that peace of mind. So what are your thoughts? I know that you're big advocates for CAA, Chris. So what are your thoughts there?
I think we're actually working on trying to hopefully get a representative from CAA on the show. That would be great. So if you're listening out there, reach out to us because we'd love to have you as a guest. But I know some people that I can reach out to, so I'm going to see if I can get them on the show. But CAA, honestly, like I can't talk about that service enough. I've locked my keys in the car twice. So, and there's nothing worse than, okay, so the first time, these are just some of the small features about CAA. So the first time, I don't know what I did. Like, you know, when you put your keys on the front seat of the car and then you just close a door. And as I'm closing the door, I'm like, why am I closing the door? Like, I could just see the keys right there. Like, you know what I mean? Then of course I locked it. So luckily for me, the friend that I was with, he had CAA. So the good thing about CAA is that CAA, I'm not sure about if AAA is the same, but CAA, it's not tied to a particular vehicle. It's tied to the card holder. So you have like X amount of times that you can call them out to you. And so he had like five or whatever. So he was able to just use one just to get them to come out to help me. And they were able to, they did some funky stuff where they were able to put some air thing in there and make a space so they can put some hanger in there. I mean, I really probably shouldn't be talking about this in case there's any car thieves listening, but they did something where they were able to open the door. So that was the first time. The second time I had a car rental. And again, I don't know what, like I put the keys in my bag and then I put the bag in the car and then I closed doors, right? So now I can't get into the car. So I was like, what the hell, right? So then again, I had to call CAA. And then at that time, I think the car rental had a connection with CAA, but I still needed to pay a little something extra, which wasn't really that bad. But still, they came out and, you know, they got the keys out again with some pumping thing. It's weird. But they got the keys out again. So ever since those two times, I just, you know what? I'm just going to pay for it. It's not that expensive. It's about like $100-something for the year. And, you know, I can get X amount of towing. If you get a flat tire, they'll come out and change your tire or do something like that. They'll tow you to the nearest mechanic, whatever that is. Even if you run out of gas, they will come with a little red thingy of gas and give you gas in case you ran out of gas, right? They will help you start your car if the car the battery is kind of messed up or whatever. So just these little things. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things that we can put into a car, like tons of other stuff that we have a whole list of things that we could talk about in an episode of things to have in your car, from chargers and cables and those kind of things. But yeah, CAA will come out for all those little things. Mostly for me, it's most likely always going to be because Chris left his keys in the car. But you know, they could come for those other little things, like if you're out of gas, if you have a flat tire, all those little pieces. And I mean, honestly, it's such a like an expensive thing to have it for the year. Now, depending on the company or the car that you own, each company car manufacturer has their own version of CAA as well. So something to think about. So like, for example, I know that my brother has a Honda, and I know Honda has their own sort of little thing that's similar to CAA. So you might not necessarily need CAA, but if your car manufacturer, like Honda, I know Honda has one. So if you have Honda, then use that service. Like, I think it's well worth it to invest that and have that, pay that extra bit of money, whatever that is, and just have that additional service. I can't talk enough about it. I think it's one of the best services ever.
And I think that's important, Reno, because as travelers, we have travel insurance as an option and that we take advantage of, right? So this is also important as road trippers as well, because like I said, it could happen with something going on down the street, or it could happen when you're on the road. So definitely that comfort, that peace of mind, that you know that you're going to be okay and that you have helps on the way, I think is definitely worth it. So that about wraps up this episode number 7. We want to know, what did we miss? Is there something that you love and live by as you're road tripping and you're like, you guys didn't mention that? We definitely want to hear from you, whether you are following us over on the podcast players like Apple or Spotify, or you're over on YouTube. Definitely please subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us, and let us know in the comment section, what are your thoughts and what would you add? Or what are the things that we mentioned that you really loved? You're like, you know what? I never done this, because I think I've learned things along the way that I could improve upon and just make, again, my trips more enjoyable and more just, you know, have a really, really good time. Please do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have videos associated with every episode we drop for Road Trip Ready. So we definitely want to make sure we're growing that channel so you could subscribe to us and stay informed there. We want you to tune in next week. Next week is our season 1 finale, and we are going to be talking about how to find hidden gems on these road trips, which I think, Chris, you are an expert at finding hidden gems. So I cannot wait to hear what you have to say and to learn from you. No pressure whatsoever. That's a wrap for this episode.